Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome to this Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. In this programme, I'd like to talk to you about nothing. Nothing new in that, I hear you thinking. We often get a long say away about nothing in this programme. As Ronan Keating sings, "You say it best, Mr. Noble, when you say nothing at all." Ha ha ha. But I'm serious. This programme is all about nothing or nothingness. And there's a lot to say about nothing. For instance, nothing is not just nothing, in all kinds of ways. Nothing can be very much something. Let me explain. But first, some music on the thought of nothing being much more than just nothing.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I can never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know there's a truth in your eyes, saying you'll never leave me. The touch of your hand says you'll catch me wherever I fall. You say it best when you say nothing at all. All day long I can hear people talking out loud. But when you hold me near, you drown out the crowd. Try as they may, they can never define what's been said. Say nothing at all.
Nothing can be very much something in all kinds of ways. For instance, the Reverend Ross Mitchell, a retired minister in Saltcoats, tells me that he's been a Partick Thistle supporter all his life, since he was a wee boy. But when he was a wee boy, he was under a false impression. He thought the team that he supported was called Partick Thistle nil, because every week he heard the news, Aberdeen 6, Partick Thistle nil, Dundee 4, Partick Thistle nil. The nothing made him feel a bit of a loser. Nothing can be very much something in another way. There's a famous poem called Mr. Nobody. I know a funny little man as quiet as a mouse, who does the mischief that is done in everybody's house. There's no one ever sees his face, and yet we all agree that every plate we break was cracked by Mr. Nobody. 'Tis he who always tears our books, who leaves the doors ajar. He pulls the buttons from our clothes and scatters pins afar. That squeaky door will always squeak because of this, you see. We leave the oiling to be done by Mr. Nobody. And so on. I was looking at the TV Times for Channel 4 and I read 11 o'clock film, The Invisible Man. 12:25 a.m. film, The Invisible Man returns. From where it didn't say. Maybe it was the toilet. Maybe it's like Rocky 65. 1:55 a.m. a film, The Invisible Woman. What next? The Invisible Garden of Eden followed by The Invisible Children. 3:15 a.m. a film, The Invisible Agent. Well, there's an invisible devil after all then. 4:40 film, The Invisible Man's Revenge. Maybe it was something he ate. The invisible apple from The Invisible Woman, perhaps. So there you are, proof that you can watch Channel 4 for 7 hours and still see nothing on the telly. Nothing can be very much something in another way. There was a man in the theatre who walked onto the stage and said nothing and did nothing. And while he stood there motionless, silent, people went through all kinds of emotions. They were thinking he must have got stage fright, the poor soul, and they were very sympathetic. But as he stood there, they started to think, I hope he's all right, he's maybe ill, and they started to worry. As he stood there, they began to get curious. What on earth is he thinking? And then there was a degree of impatience. Okay, a joke is a joke, get on with it. Then anger. Look, we've paid good money for this. And then sheer rage. He's making a fool of us. And he got booed. People were angry. But they went home, and that was the bit they remembered of the whole night. And when they met anybody, they told them about the man who did nothing. People came the next night to see this man doing nothing. He drew big crowds, packed houses. To cut a long story short, he ended up at the London Palladium in front of the Queen, doing nothing. So doing nothing worked for him. I don't know what he's doing now, I suppose he's doing nothing. But in all these different ways, nothing isn't nothing. God, Jesus, looks to be like nothing in all four of those ways. Like the Partick Thistle one, God sometimes looks like a loser. Like the Mr. Nobody poem, God sometimes seems to be the scapegoat. It's an act of God, says the insurance. Or in the invisible films, God's quite invisible. Or this man who does nothing. Sometimes folk think God does nothing. But be assured that he is loving us, saving us, doing a lot for us. It's a bit like parents keeping their hands behind their backs and letting the baby stumble across the floor, because if they rescued the baby every single time, the baby would never learn to walk on its own 2 feet. Or take the prodigal son story. The father lets him go off into the far country. Parents have to let their teenagers leave the nest and go and make their own mistakes and learn the hard way. It hurts to stand back and not lift a finger, but it can be the loving thing to do sometimes. Doing nothing is not nothing. Of course, the baby or the teenager does sometimes wonder if it's a sign of not caring. And in God's case, they wonder if he's not there at all. Here's Susan Boyle expressing this.
What is it, Lord, that you want that I am not seeing? What in my ignorant prayers am I failing to say? Never before have I questioned the truth of your being. Never once have I dared. Never until today. All of a tremble I stand on the edge of confusion. Who is to save me if into the darkness I fall? Now that I need more than ever my God to be near me, do you hear when I call? Are you there after all? You have to be there, you have to. My life I have placed in thy keep, and without you I am drifting on a dark and stormy sea. I drown in the deep, too far from land. The waters drag me down, I reach for your hand. And when I die, he will open his arms to receive me. Who will forgive me and take me and show me his face? When I have gone to my rest, will you watch me and wake me? When my time comes at last, will you grant me your grace? I am so small in this earth, I'm nothing without you. Daring to doubt you at all is a knife to my heart. Little by little, my way in the shadows, I am losing my hope, and the world falls apart. You have to be there, you have to. My life I have placed in my keep, and without you I am drifting on a dark and stormy sea. You have to be there, you have to.
You're listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour, when we're thinking about the subject of nothing or nothingness. Nothing can be very much more than nothing in all kinds of other ways too. For instance, you say, "Thank you very much." "Oh, it was nothing. It was the least I could do." "Oh, well, thanks a bundle." But the nothing, whatever it was, made the other person very grateful. Or the conversation between teenagers and parents. "Where have you been?" "Nowhere." "Who were you with?" "Nobody." "What were you doing?" "Nothing." But in doing nothing, nowhere, with nobody, they had a great time. Or take gossips. I'm saying nothing, but have you heard? Or terrorists. Nowadays, terrorists, you can't even name what the cause is. What are they fighting for in some of these battles that we hear all about, the terrorism? laying down their life, willing to die for it. For what? And all that evil needs to prosper is that good people do nothing. Sometimes there's a deafening silence as we fail to stand up and be counted and speak out. We just say nothing and we do nothing, and that's how the world carries on going wrong. If we stay silent and if we stay still too often, inch by inch, we die. Little by little, we wither. Gradually, we slip into nothingness. We become polo people. You know, like polo mints, with a big hole in the middle. Hard on the outside, nothing in the middle. A big hole. Nothingness is the flabbiness which athletes strive not to have. Nothingness is the ignorance which scholars strive against. Nothingness is the indiscipline which saints work hard at overcoming. These things are a big part of our daily lives. We spend our lives opposing them. We want to amount to something and not decay into nothingness. In the beginning, God created the world, an orderly world, and he rejected chaos. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate, says the Bible. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. And God created order out of chaos, light out of darkness, something out of nothing. And then comes Adam and Eve in chapter 3. Born into a Garden of Eden, they go and blow it. They discover suddenly that they are naked, they're wearing nothing, and they've no excuse. They've nothing to say for themselves, and they find themselves expelled from Eden, from riches to rags, reduced to nothing.
Unashamed and naked in a garden that has never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. In the majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. Then just before the evening, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. But they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you?
Nothingness still threatens God's creation and God's will and God's creatures, you and me. Because nothingness is not nothing. It's our number one enemy. God didn't create nothingness. God doesn't want nothingness. Nothingness is whatever corrupts and destroys God's creation. God hates cancer. It spoils his creatures. He didn't create cancer. Don't ever think he did. As a woman in the hospital said, "Minister, just tell me it's God's will and I'll bear it." But you can't say it's God's will that you've got cancer. God works to get rid of it. That's why we have cancer drugs in hospitals and nurses and doctors. But cancer's a real dangerous enemy. And cancer's a parable of many other things. Ignorance isn't anything. It's a not something. But it kills and it destroys. Apathy isn't something. It's an absence. It's a lack of. But it spreads death. And absence is a nothing. And yet absence is very powerful, especially in those who are grieving. And neglect. What we don't use, we lose. But you see what I'm saying? Ignorance, apathy, absence, non-use, neglect. These are all nothings, but they're all very powerful. And we spend our life fighting them. And we often spend our life losing the battle. You don't have to burn down a library, just don't use it. You don't have to start a revolution, just don't vote. You don't have to close down churches, just don't go. Every day, many times a day, we stand at the life and death crossroad. We strive for life, or we slide downhill towards nothingness. Living death is worse than death with the hope of resurrection. Many people are alive today, but in truth, they're actually deeply mired in nothingness. Here's Albert Bogle.
I feel shut in and I feel shut out. Say now, and I won't say then, lonely. And it's funny how the busiest life can feel so damned empty. And I tell you now, this empty soul is aching. But you let your children walk away from your door. For everyone that walks, there's a million more. You talk of your programs, visions and dreams, and I just want to scream. Have you room for love? I want to know now. Have you space for me? 'Cause I'm not like you, you see. Down now, yeah. I feel kicked in and I feel kicked out, hurting. And I can't forgive, but will you forgive? Sorry. It's funny how the busiest life can feel so damned empty. I tell you now, this empty soul is aching. But you let your children walk away from your door. For everyone that walks, there's a million more. You talk of your programs, visions and dreams, and I just want to scream. Have you room for love? I wanna know now. Have you space for me? 'Cause I'm not like you, you see. I wanna see that. Want no walls around me. Break them down.
The good news in all this is that God takes nothingness very seriously indeed and has fixed the problem for us. As Carol Barth puts it, nothingness is our number one enemy, but God makes it his number one priority. God came down to earth to save us from nothingness. It's too powerful an enemy for us. We cannot keep up fighting the good fight. We disintegrate and crumble, decline and fall, dissipate and decay. But God, as Jesus, humbled himself, let himself be victimized by nothingness, took up our struggle individually and as a world to keep chaos at bay. As far as God is concerned, my creature's enemy is my enemy. We are in it together. If one suffer, we all suffer. This is his world. We are his creatures, and although he does not cause sin, evil, chaos, and nothingness, he feels responsible for our well-being. He loves us and wants us to prosper. So, as Jesus, God comes alongside his impotent and faithless creatures. He takes our place as our representative. Nothingness attacked and killed him on the cross. Well, think about it. Pontius Pilate washed his hands of responsibility, saying, "It is nothing to do with me." But he gave the death sentence. Judas Iscariot threw back the 30 pieces of silver and ran away and hung himself, casting himself into outer darkness and nothingness. Jesus' disciples fled, saying and doing nothing. Peter denied him three times. "He's nothing to do with me." Then he ran out and wept bitterly in grief, because nothingness had beaten him. The Pharisees, the church leaders, were far gone in nothingness. God himself stood before them and hung on the cross in front of their face. But they still saw nothing, heard nothing, felt nothing. But this is the lovely thing. Jesus just hung there on the cross. Before that, he had said nothing to Pilate and Caiaphas and Herod and the Sanhedrin in his six trials. And all through his life, he endured injustices, ignorance, arrogant ignorance, unfaithfulness and apathy and insensitivity. None of these were nothing. They all hurt. But he took it all. And when he was hanging on the cross, limply, dead even, seemingly doing nothing, just hanging passively, in truth, he was being very active indeed. Never busier, never achieving more. He was saving the world, saving you and me, saving us from sin and guilt and evil and nothingness and death. Jesus was killing nothingness even in the act of dying. The parasite died with the host. God fought our battle. Now we share his victory. Now nothingness is dealt with. It's a defeated enemy, a spent force, a faint echo, a pale shadow of its former self. Temptation is tamed. Death is defeated, dead. We can resurrect to eternal life. D-Day is past, the resurrection of Jesus. And V-Day is coming soon, Jesus' second coming. We live in the time between D-Day and V-Day. And just as in the Second World War, it means that the decisive battle is behind us, but that we still have some mopping up operations and will still have some casualties, but that's all that it is. Victory is guaranteed. So we should live on the right side of Calvary Hill, not plodding wearily uphill towards our next crucifixion full of foreboding, but skipping joyfully downhill, rejoicing that our sins are all forgiven and we're on our way to heaven. The Bible says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus. In other words, nothingness can no longer separate us from the love of God. Do not be afraid. God's grace always wins. Nothingness has been reduced to nothing. Its only use is to chase us into the loving arms of God. For even nothingness now works together for good to those who love God, as Derek Carroll sings here. So bye for now.
Where do I go? Talk to when no one wants to listen. Who do I lean on? Where there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected.
I go to the rocks. Where do I hide when the storms of life surround me? Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow blow? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? I go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. When I need a friend, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock.
I go to the rock.
I go to the rock.
I go to the rock.
I go to the rock.
I go to the rock.